26 minutes in front of the hour. You're listening to Morning Air. We apologize to Eric Jenness. We were supposed to be talking with him this past half hour. We had a technical problem, so we'll reschedule Eric. We'll have Glenn's Story Corner coming up in just a few minutes. And Shelley Roeder is with me, the volunteer director for CapCor, a Franciscan Capuchin volunteer ministry, which is geared to college-age students and graduates who want to emulate the example of St. Francis of Assisi and serve the poor and disenfranchised. The volunteers practice their spirituality through common prayer with their community, retreats, and work with a spiritual director. CapCor has ministry sites in Chicago, Detroit, Milwaukee, Central America, and Peru. And you can find out more at capcor.org, C-A-P-C-O-R-P-S, capcor.org. Shelley, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good to talk to you.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So how long has CapCor been going on? How long has CapCor been doing this work?
We started in 1994. So I think that puts us at about, 18 years or so?
Mm-hmm.
And some years smaller than others, but usually we have about 10 to 15 volunteers working here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, 3 to 6 or 8 working in abroad.
So are these students on summer break, or are they mostly graduates?
Yeah, they're usually people right out of college, occasionally a couple of years out of college, generally folks who want to have a break, an academic break of sorts, before they go to grad school or professional school, or people like me, theology majors, who have no idea what they can do with their degree and need to get some job experience, some work experience, some life experience maybe before figuring that out. And then we have occasionally folks who are midlife or retirement age who are just looking for a way to give back, a change of pace, a different way of walking in the world. So we do have a few of those that have been through the program as well.
So, Shelley, what's your own experience been with it?
Oh, man, it was really an amazing experience for me. I had just graduated, but then also spent a year and a half in the Dominican Republic with my university. And that experience had turned my life upside down, really had changed my worldview, helped me to really challenge the cultural assumptions I think that I have about efficiency and production being really the most important things, and really examining, you know, how important relationships are and how important process is. And so I came back to the U.S. and just had a really difficult time being here, you know, just a reverse culture shock, I think is what they say. And and then made my way to Milwaukee, mostly to sleep on my brother's couch because I knew he'd have me.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got here, I learned that a friend of mine was doing this program called CapCor, and I had known about full-time volunteer programs because of my college experience with doing community service.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never really experienced the community life or gotten to know people who'd done that. And so I called my friend up and asked if we could have dinner together, and she said, "Oh my gosh, my community's having dinner tonight. Come on over." And so I went to her house, and it was like walking into the world that I had just experienced for a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was different values. The value of spending time with people, the value of eating food together, of not being rushed, of making food yourselves, of sharing what you have with each other, and then using the joy that you get from that to give to others. So I actually, when I got to my friend's place, she was still doing her work, which was at St. Ben's Community Meal, one of the Capuchin ministries here in Milwaukee that serves about 300 people with a hot meal 6 nights a week.
Mm.
So, you know, I walked in and saw her pouring milk and putting her arms around folks that were there for the meal. And just, she's like, "Hey, help me out," you know. And so I grabbed a pitcher and helped her out. And it was just really refreshing to be back in an environment where there's just that real strong connection to people who are suffering, you know, a real strong connection to a community of folks who can reflect and challenge each other around that, around all the questions that brings up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we had dinner that night, and I was just hooked. luckily, the program starts up in August every year, and this was June, so I had a good chance to get my application in and get interviewed and make sure it was what I wanted to do. But and since then, I've just been really embraced by the Capuchins as a person. Mm-hmm. They're a wonderful group of men. Mm-hmm. Who just truly, truly live, I think, a way that's, you know, similar to Francis, a way that was counter to the culture of his time, you know. Mm-hmm. They live in that way of really being with people who are in need and then grounding themselves in prayer as they do that. So, it's been a wonderful experience for me to be involved with the program, and now it's just a real joy to bring people into that, mm-hmm. you know, to find people who are a good fit for the work that we do, and to watch them grow and change and experience the same fruitfulness that I experienced during my year.
When you talk with people who are first interested in the program, have they already kind of gotten to the point you were at where they really had an awareness that the way they were living their lives was not all there was to it? Or were some of them, are some of them just looking at a volunteer opportunity?
It varies very much, you know. We find that a lot of colleges and universities these days have really wonderful service learning programs and alternative spring break programs. So many, many students are already mm-hmm. initiated, so to speak, into thinking that there might be a different way of living than, you know, the corporate ladder and the individual family unit and all those things that I think are really mainstream, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people, I think, have a taste of it often in college. And I think many of the folks that we get, especially the folks that go abroad, I would say, are really, really hungering for being able to explore questions more deeply, being able to really be transformed. And they know that that means that they need to do a significant amount of time in service.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, volunteer programs aren't the only way to do that, certainly. You know, anyone can start volunteering right in the community where they live. But there is something really special about being able to just dive in full-time mm-hmm. with other people who are doing it too, and, you know, having the retreats and the orientation and all of that set up for mm-hmm. you to help to guide and process your thinking and help you ask the right questions and that kind of thing. So, you know, and then some people really just don't have other opportunities and are mm-hmm. a little desperate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
You know, and the lowest possible motivation often leads to the highest reward, you know, and we've seen that happen as well. People that really don't know what they're getting into at all,
oh,
but
wow.
they have a good heart, they're not going to hurt anybody, and they end up having a really transformative experience.
Mm-hmm. So how long is the length of service there with the community?
Yeah, we have a 12-month commitment for domestic volunteers. So volunteers that work here in Milwaukee, in Chicago or Detroit, come in August, and then they we have an orientation. They start working in mid-August, and then they're done the following July.
Mm-hmm.
And then our international volunteers that work in Nicaragua and Peru, they work for 18 months, and often they'll end up extending for a year after that.
Mm.
We offer that as an option, and I would say probably a third of our volunteers take that up as a way to, because, you know, when you're working in a different culture and in a different language, it usually takes about a year to get your grounding, you know, to
mm-hmm.
really know yeah. what you're doing. And our volunteers do need to know Spanish before they go, so that they, you know, they're not diving in completely
right.
Without any language skills. But it still takes quite a while to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
And so often people feel like they're just arriving when they have to face, you know, leaving. So I think that's why many people explore that option of extending their time for the international program.
Mm. Here in the States, it seems like in urban areas, homeless people and people who are on the fringes, I mean, they become sort of invisible to everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we
yeah.
have this way of seeing people without really seeing them.
Right.
I mean, literally, you'll kind of look the other way and
yep.
just keep going.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I had a wonderful friend and mentor, Marianne Finch. She runs a program in San Francisco called the Care Through Touch Institute. And she started out providing massage therapy to people who were dying of AIDS during the AIDS crisis. Mm. But then when that started to stabilize and not as many people were dying or in need of that, she turned her attention to people on the street. And I had the privilege of being trained by her and working with her. And one time she builds these like really strong and really deep connections with folks who live on the street. And there was one guy who literally lived on the street. You know, he slept outside. He was outside all day long. And he would often have a little cup out for change, you know, a beggar, just like St. Francis, right? And she sat with him one day just as an experiment to kind of see what it was like to ask for change. And she said that the very, very hardest part was how, you know, sitting there all day with hundreds, maybe thousands of people walking by, just only a few making eye contact.
Mm.
Just a few. Everyone else averting their eyes, you know, really ignoring it, ignoring this person, this human being, this child of God, you know?
Yeah.
And she said that was just, you know, as the day grew on, she just grew more and more pained by this experience of people not seeing, seeing, certainly seeing, but not really seeing.
Yes.
And, you know, that, just that story, my own work with people who live on the streets, it has really taught me the value of a simple, smile, the value of really looking at someone with respect, you know, not pity, but, you know, like really looking at them with respect, and really trying to find God everywhere we go and in people of all kinds. And, you know, I think the feedback I've heard from folks on the street about that is you have no idea how much it means to see a smile and to have a real connection with another human, another human being during the day.
Mm. So for folks who might be interested in CapCorps, how do they get a hold of you?
Well, you can go to our website, CapCorps, C-A-P, CORPS.org, and on there you'll get lots of information, including my phone number, which is 414-374-8841, extension 29.
Okay, and we'll put a link to all that from our Morning Air Facebook page.
Oh, so excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Well, Shelley, good to talk to you, and thanks for sharing with us a little bit about CapCorps this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
And again, you can find out more at capcorps.org, C-A-P-C-O-R-S, C-A-P-C-O-R-S. CapCorps is a volunteer ministry of the Franciscan Capuchins, and they have communities in Chicago, Detroit, Milwaukee, Central America, and Peru as well.